This is what is subject, this is the content of second section of Mundaka Upanishad. What doubt you have in second section of Mundaka Upanishad? Tell me now.
From what you're saying now, if there is some sense of unfulfilled Vyavaharika, something unfulfilled in the world, it is impossible to reach this passion. Is that what you're saying? If you feel, oh God, look, you know, I haven't yet done this one thing.
Unfulfilled desire, is that what you mean?
Yeah, if you feel that there's some task unfulfilled, I have not done this, I have not... Does it mean that this dispassion...
That is not dispassion.
No, I'm saying it is not possible to reach dispassion even if you have even one unfulfilled.
In fact, you need not... See, again, I tell you. No. Listen. What I'm saying, when you have... So, I want to achieve this, I have not achieved this, one may have many diseases, okay? But as long as, even if you have done, you need not have done everything in your life. Even if you have done something. Okay, I have lived my life, a simple teacher's life, okay? And then I have my own small experience. I don't need to live a life of a doctor, don't need to live a life of an engineer, don't need to live a life of an accountant to know the limitations of karma. Isn't it? Whatever one's own, suppose if you have lived your life for 20, 30 years, 30, 40 years, you must have learnt a lot from that life. Then that life itself must have given, you know, must have blessed you with a dispassion. It is not frustration. Even as I was mentioning about, frustration is different from dispassion. You know, like, see, what is impossible for me to enjoy in this life, and if I have desire for something impossible for me, then I give up the desire. Why? I have this desire, but it's impossible in this life for me to accomplish that. Means what now? I give up my desire. Why? Because of my knowledge of impossibility of fulfilling that desire. For example, as a Swamini coming from India, as an immigrant, I want to become a prime minister of this country. You can't even stay here. What do you want to become a prime minister of this country? Is it clear now? This is what now? Impossible. What is impossible? But if I have a desire for something impossible, then in the long run I give up my desire. That is called what? Frustration. Giving up the desires because of my impossibility of fulfilling my desires is called what now? Frustration. That is a different thing. But here, and if you are very prudent and intelligent, you have desires which can be fulfilled. And you have desires and you do things and you fulfill your desires also. By fulfilling many desires, still you may have still some more unfulfilled desires. You have some fulfilled desires, you have some unfulfilled desires. This already, if you have lived your life fulfilling many desires, still having some more unfulfilled desires, this fulfillment of some desires itself will bless you with adequate knowledge of limitations, of accomplishments, of all or fulfillments of all your desires. Then naturally you will grow out of desire for things. I mean, even unfulfilled desires also will resolve naturally. Unfulfilled desires also resolve naturally when you discover already the limitations of your fulfilled desires.
Yeah, it's not the big things, the big desires. You know, there are many little things that people feel. You know, we know people feel.
Any desire for
my children are not settled. Or my
that is what I'm saying. Everything. There's no such thing called anything. Everything. As I told again, concern is different. Concern, she will not allow you to worry. Concern will do the needful immediately. You forget about it. That's all. You know, this is attachment only worry makes you worry. Concern means do the needful and forget about it. No? But you will be praying for them, you can bless them from distance, if you can pray for them from distance, that's a different thing. See, blessing and praying is a different thing. You are, because here, that's what I'm saying, there's a time, completely you have grown out of desire for things. That means what? Even after being mature person also, you can have some concern for children, concern for friends, concern for society, concern for well-being of everybody, not only for your children, even for the society also. It's a concern for the well-being of anybody in the world. That is different. That's a mature expression of maturity. Concern for any living being, isn't it? That is a different thing. That is a different thing. That's a maturity. But here mature means you are not craving for, I mean, completely grown up desire for pleasures and things means, because mind for Vedanta needs a focused attention, focused mind. Why? Because passion towards things will make you distracted. You can't be focused. Vedantic vision needs focused attention. And you're already distracted. How many things are distracting you? So you're already very distracted. So being distracted is very natural. You can't be... I'm not saying being distracted is wrong. Nothing is wrong. Everything is right only. Everything is proper only. But what is required here? Being distracted, being restless, being agitated is natural. It is not wrong. But if you want Vedantic vision, you have to become focused. You can't afford to be distracted. How are you going to become distracted? No? If your mind is scattered, then you are distracted definitely. The mind is focused, you are not distracted. And if dispassion means what? In dispassion, you are not distracted. In dispassion, you are not distracted. Where there is dispassion, definitely there is no distraction. If dispassion is not there, there is definitely passion. And when the passion is there, there is distraction is there. Passion for many things. Isn't it? That is why aparavidya is the beauty of aparavidya is knowledge of everything and anything other than Brahman. And that knowledge needs to be what now? That knowledge implies what now? Knowledge has to be implemented. The knowledge needs implementation. Implementing in the form of what? Performance and practice. And that will result in what? Phalam. That fruit will give you what? The fruit of that karma will give you what? Time-bound results. And then you will, that when you analyze that karma phalam, what will you gain? You will know the limitation that it cannot give me everlasting happiness and peace. This one understanding, you know that? To know that. Because initially if somebody tells you, you won't listen also. You are not, that's what, but we have to really grow out of it. That is why it's very important for one to live one's life completely, properly, to know the limitations of it. You know, having lived 30, 40 years, that's why in Tamil we say, Oru paane sotrukku, oru soru padam. When we want to see whether the whole pot full of rice is there, you don't need to see whether every rice is cooked. One rice, you say it is enough, you know it's cooked. You don't need to touch every rice, every grain you don't need to touch. Then you touch one grain and see it is cooked. That means what? It's enough. If you enjoyed the fulfillment of few of your desires, enough. You don't need to fulfill all your desires and to know the limitations. I still have unfulfilled desires. I have yet to fulfill them. Let me fulfill those desires. Then let me understand the limitation of fulfillment of desires. Not necessary. You have already, if you have lived your life 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you have definitely enjoyed the fulfillment of many, many of your desires. And that itself is enough for you, understand, to know the limitations of fulfillment of desires. You're doing something.
Excuse me, could you, because of that you can have rebirth again and again if your desires are not really fulfilled or you have strong desires.
No, that is what we say. Desires will be there. That's why jnanam. In jnanam, sarvam parisamapyate. Jnane sarvam parisamapyate. See, in jnanam, desires will resolve. In jnanam, thoughts will resolve. In jnanam, everything will resolve. In jnanam, when doership will go. In jnanam, kartrutvam will go. Enjoyership will go. Bhoktrutvam will go, kartrutvam will go, doership will go, enjoyership will go, desires will resolve, passion will resolve. Everything, you don't need to push them out. They will all leave you alone and go away. Isn't it? When they go away, you are free. Your thing is, no, you are not this risk. That is why in jnanam everything goes. And where is the birth and where is death? Who has moksha? Where is moksha? Where is bandha? Who has bondage? Who has rebirth? There must be first birth for you to have a rebirth, isn't it? If you know you don't have first birth, then where is the rebirth for you? First birth itself is not there. Where is second birth? We know you are, isn't it? That is the central difference. We'll see next verse, the Dakshinamurti Stotra, that I'll explain that actually. The fourth verse is the most, and the, after third, three verses, the fourth verse will really, the whole teaching comes to an end with the fourth verse. And fifth onwards, you can relax.
Swamini, the psychologists say that even during your old age, even when your children have gone away for 30, 40 years, even if you don't have desires, you have desires for your children. And yesterday's papers, there was a news item about that. I don't know whether anybody saw that. And, you know, where does that come? Because even if they think that you the children have flown out of the nest, but still, not that concern, you have desires for them. You want them to do well, exams.
That is all attachment. See, that's all attachment. One line, one word, attachment. You have to do a duty towards a child as a father, as a mother. Okay? You cannot do your duties for them. And then have concern for them. Means, whenever they come to you for any advice or guidance, you are 100% there for them. Okay? And then do the needful. Doing the needful is the expression of concern. When all the time they should do well means what? Why they should do well? Why are you thinking that? Because only if they do well, I'll be happy. Yeah. I mean, you are dependent on their well-being. Doing well for your happiness means that's attachment. Yeah. If you are dependent on anything external for your happiness, you are attached to that. Okay? Attachment is being dependent on a given thing for one's happiness is attachment. If you are dependent on your children's doing well for happiness, then is what? Attachment. So attachment is your, that's a problem, isn't it? That is the emotional problem. Attachment is a problem, passion is a problem, all these things are problem, emotional problems. And then, I'm not saying it is wrong to have them, but is you are supposed to grow out of them. That is the Shastra study is for what? By growing out of them. See, how long are we going to do? We don't know how long we are going to be here. And we are worried about children's well-being. Are you going to be there for thousands of years to look after them? Or what? We don't know what happens. No? Every fraction of a second is a bonus. Bhagavan's grace. So, we have no nothing. We don't know. We can't do the needful. That's all. It is a different thing. So, desire grow. That's what sannyasi means what? That's why sannyasi, not the saffron robes, does not make one a sannyasi. That's what people can't relate to. Sannyasis, no, they can't see the mind of sannyasi. When they have some problems, they can't see the mind of sannyasi. Seeing the external behavior of a person, they may think, oh, this person also has a lot of problems, like that. Really speaking, the sannyasa itself, not the way, I don't know about other, maybe it will go wrong, it's a different thing. But generally, a sannyasi's mind means the mind, completely dispassionate mind. Because the mind which understands others' problems, accommodates other problems, does not see anything as wrong. But at the same time, everything is accommodated. Because you know that everything. At the same time, the mind which is not interested in all those things. Understand? Because we know the limitations. Sannyasi is not really color. The craft and dress doesn't make a sannyasi. Sannyasa means actually where the mind has very, very, very clear understanding of limitations of all forms of pleasures. All forms of possessions, all forms of security also, things also. You know, that's why there's no grabbing, there's no really craving for any pleasure. There's no such thing. That is the mind. So that, you know, everyone is supposed to apara vidya, the highest benefit of apara vidya is that one should become a sannyasi mentally, not physically. Physically, you don't even wear a saffron robes. Mentally, mental maturity of a person is what now? Mentally, one becoming a sannyasi. Who's a sannyasi? If you have passion for jnanam, dispassion towards everything else, it is your maturity. Dispassion is not born of force. Dispassion is born of understanding. Understanding of limitations. I cannot force and, you know, bring dispassion. Dispassion can be forced and imposed on somebody. Gun, become dispassionate. Okay, like become. Do 5 or 10 namaz, not like that, okay? Become dispassionate. No, not like that. It can't be forced on people. It has to come naturally, one has to grow out, no? Born of understanding. But understanding cannot be gained overnight. Look at that. That is why whole Grihastha Ashrama is for what now? Grihastha Ashrama has to be lived for what? Overnight you cannot have understanding. One day night, 2 days night, you can't understand. Whole of Grihastha Ashrama is for you to understand. For you to understand. For understanding the limitations. When you understand the limitations, then you become what? You discover dispassion. So dispassion is brought about, it's a change brought about by the understanding in the, you know, of the limitations of artha kama pursuit. Is it the dispassionate mind is what now? Dispassionate person has passion for jnanam naturally. Once you have passion for jnanam, dispassion towards everything else, then you'll be focused. And nothing can stop you from coming to the class. And then again, that is why we also say, once you know what is priority, then even then the small lingering emotional commitments to other things, which I've been involved in all those things. I've been involved with this for many years. So I can't give it up. Why? Again, that entanglement also should grow. Even then you still not dispassionate. Any emotional entanglement with anything which you have been practicing for many years. Because it's not over, you can't give it up. Because you've been doing it for many years, giving it up is not an easy joke. Not easy. Not at all. I'm not saying it is wrong. It is not wrong. But it is very important. You can't give it up. That is why we get anywhere we get emotionally entangled. Why? Many years. Many years entangled. It is only Gurukulam where you can come out without any entanglement. Gurukulam, you live for years. Be with the teacher, study the Shastram with the clarity, no entanglement. You know? Satyam. And you have all freedom. You are an institution by yourself. You are an organization by yourself. In the mind. That is why everywhere we get entangled. Even our friendship. No, we are associated for some time. Oh my God, so emotionally. Get. Everywhere emotional entanglement. From some time we know each other, get entangled. I'm not saying, see, having concern for each other, even if you don't know or know, that is different from what getting entangled, isn't it? In fact, I don't want to go into the details of go out of such a matter because time is very precious for us. I was also not very well, so I just took it easy today. Because it happened a very, very serious verse. I didn't want to break the class. That's the reason why I didn't cancel the class also. Actually speaking, the aparavidya, the first chapter presents paravidya in a nutshell. Second chapter presents aparavidya in a nutshell. And what is aparavidya? The culminative 12th verse tells you the highest benefit one has to gain as a result, you know, by aparavidya is what now? Maturity. Maturity is discovering dispassion towards everything one has accomplished with passion. Isn't it? Is what? Is maturity. That maturity is very much required for with jnanam. That is the benefit. That's the lesson. And once you have that maturity, you know, of dispassion towards other things, also it helps you discover passion for jnanam, and that jnanam will definitely take you towards shastram and guruhu. The guruhu who is brahmanishtaha and shrotriyaha. That is the teaching of the whole of second section of Mundaka. I think we've analyzed very well today. Don't you think? The second section of Mundaka Upanishad has been very well analyzed. You know, how many mantras are there and a karalika there? What is that we have to learn ultimately by second section of Mundaka Upanishad? Vairagya praptihi. Say now, vairagya praptihi. Aparavidyaya vairagya praptihi. Vairagya praptihi. Vairagya prapti, you know, attainment of dispassion is the ultimate benefit of aparavidya. One line answer. This is the essence of the second section of Mundaka Upanishad. And then one more line you have to add, what? This vairagya prapti will lead you to what? Jnana praptihi. So jnana praptyartham, what you should do? Guru Shastram. Shastram and Guruhu. Isn't it? Vairagya prapti will take you to Guru and Shastram, which will culminate in Paravidya. Supposed to culminate in Paravidya. Is it clear?
But it is, it's okay for people like us who are Vedanti. But some people living in the world, they have this.
We are not worried about those people. They'll all come here. They're all saying, okay. You know what I'm saying, Amma? Everybody will come to this. Everybody will come to this. Question of time. See, when the child is born, are you worried? When is the child going to become 20-year-old? When is he going to go to the university? You're not worried. Like this, every people in the world will slowly come. How you have come, they'll also come. It's a time, question of time. Some people come at the age of 70, some come at the age of 90, some at the age come at the age of 50, some come at the age of 40, some come at the age of 20. People, Shankar Bhagavatpada, they finished everything with 22, 32. You know, Vivekananda died very young. So that is a different thing. What I'm saying, doesn't matter. People, as they become mature, they will come to this. Depends upon Janmantara samskaras and all that, they will grow. That's why it's called Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavam Amprapit. Don't worry about the people in the world. You be in that, and then by your own living, when you, the way you live, whoever sees you, whoever is attracted towards you, whoever, you know, comes to you, and they'll be naturally inclined for things for what you're interested in. Isn't it? Even people won't even come to us if they're not interested. Very dream, colored people run away from me. Why? No, nothing colorful here. Very dry, boring life. They do not know. It's the luxury. They do not know that. Isn't it? For them, what is different, isn't it? No, but what they are interested in, I am not interested. That's a different thing. So they'll all grow, ma. No problem. See, this is again another problem. Always think about your own self first. Your own self. It is very important. It's not that easy. Your own self, your upliftment, you think about it, and the whole world is progressing. Whole world is progressing only, really speaking. Where am I standing? That is the thing. Because Shankara is going to talk about other people later on. The following verse has an answer for your question. He is going to say later on, you know, my God, he is going to talk about two types of people. You know, there are two types of people Who are they? Non-thinkers, laymen, ordinary people who are illiterate people, who do not have cognitive, who are not adequately cognitively skillful. And there are people, they do not think at all. And they also miss this vision. And then there are thoughtful people, people who think highly, who are highly given to thinking, like Nyayas, or people of all other schools of thought. Two types of people, both people, thinkers and non-thinkers, both of them miss this vision. And Lord, how fortunate I am. I have got this vision. Thanks to you, Dakshinamurti. That he's going to say in the next verse.
That's what I wanted to ask.
He will tell that. So the Lord, we don't need to worry about anything in the world. I tell you, it's all this way. The worry about others itself is in sort of, you are not understanding.
It is not only worry, I was just giving example, because I know some sick people, they want sort of, they are so much, they want to die, but they are so much engrossed into the body, they cannot look beyond that spiritually.
They are not mature, mother, so you can't help it. They had to grow. We can't help them. They had to grow. See, either unless they come to Vedanta classes. And we can't go and teach Vedanta. Vedanta cannot be given to a person who is not asking for it. That is why dispassion. You are worried about they are sick, they are worried about the physical body means what? They are not yet grown. That is why the life's experience, when they suffer pain, when they go through pain, suffer, the suffering should teach them the limitations. My God, this body will be like this. That's what dispassion, that is what aparavidya. That is why they still had to be detained in only aparavidya. Aparavidya, detention, detain, no promotion. Okay? And when in the promotion, when they grow dispassionate, pariksha lokan karmachitan, promotion. Isn't it? There's no way of, they had to grow. We don't need to worry about all those people. They leave them at a distance, We can be kind to them, nice to them. We can give them, we can make them feel, we can make them feel comfortable. We can be nice to them, kind to them, and then loving to them. That's all. You can't change the immaturity. People have to grow on their own. Immaturity cannot be bought with money. Maturity can be given also. Immaturity can be bought and given. Everybody will be posting maturity. You know that? Dispassion. Come on, I'll tell you 1 kilo of maturity. Take it. All postage, they won't mind. They'll spend any amount of money and then spend and buy maturity. Dispassion. So that is why they have to grow. They have to grow. That is why the teaching is what now, the whole second section is specially dedicated for aparavidya means. See, aparavidya, we should not think only this and this. Because it is a Vedantic text, it talks about Vedic rituals and upasana. We have to understand any knowledge of any karma is aparavidya. Any knowledge of any action, Vedic or mundane, it is aparavidya. That knowledge itself not produce phalam. It has to be implementum of karma or of practice, it will produce phalam. That phalam is what now? Aparavidya only, isn't it? And they all fruit of aparavidya. So that will bless you with limitations of the fruits of karma phalam. Then you gradually grow out of it. And that is what we say maturity is the ultimate fruit, benefit one has to gain by gaining aparavidya. Understand the limitation of karma and karma phalam is what? Understand the limitation of aparavidya. It's okay? Understanding the limitation of karma phalam and karma is understanding the limitation of aparavidya. For which one needs to analyze, examine one's life experiences, and thereby one can grow out of that. So dispassion, vairagyam is very, very, very important. If people are not dispassionate, people are not mature, they're still suffering and paining, means we can't help them. They'll grow. One more janma, few more janmas, they will grow. I'm not saying we are superior, inferior, also I'm not saying anything. People who are immature also become mature one day, that's okay. The again, when you think about your Nyayam and Moksha, naturally you understand everything, why others are like that. You know, just you just leave them at a distance, and then you have to progress. Okay? I think we have understood the second section of Mundaka Upanishad thoroughly well. First section also we did last class, we have done it. And second part of Mundakam, second Mundakam is the most important section of the Mundakam of the whole Upanishad, which we'll see next class. Okay? Now next class we'll have a serious verse of Dakshinamurti Stotram. And here I want to tell you one more thing. See, when you say any object in this world, look at this, any object in this world is what now becomes evident. An object is evident. But for an object to become evident, it involves effort. Know that. It involves effort. If I had to say, there is Dakshinamurti picture at the back, and to see that, really what now? It involves effort. Picture is, no, I had to turn my head and see like that. No, the turning is required. It involves effort. For an object to become evident, it is dependent on the operation of sense organs and the mind. Remember this important lesson I'm teaching you. It's only just introduction. For an object to become evident, the operation of sense organs and the mind is important. Without the operation of the mind and sense organs, an object cannot become evident. Do you agree with this?
Yes.
Therefore, that is what is, it has dependent, isn't it? If an object is evident, mic is evident. And for the object to become evident, it is dependent on what now? My object may be there. If it is not evident, it is as good as non-existent. The object has the status of being an existent only when it becomes evident. For it to become evident, there must be light. Even if it is light, I am blind. No? I can't see. Even if I am not blind, I am seeing the light, mic also. But my mind is not here. Mind is elsewhere. Still, it won't become evident, isn't it? It will be as well as non-existent. So, operation of mind and operation of sense organs backed by the mind is what now? Very involved for an object to become evident. It has dependent evidence. Object has? Object is evident. So, object has what now? Evidence. Object has a dependent evidence. It is dependent, isn't it? It doesn't have independent existence. So it is dependent. For object to become evident, it is dependent. Whereas, I am, to know whether I am here or not. I am here or not. Not I, okay, for every one of you. No, but Binaji there, when you say, you have to look for her. Yes. One of the people in the class, was she there today? You had to look for her. Oh, she was there, she's not there. You have to say whether she's there or not. You have to search. You have to analyze. You have to see. But without having, are you all here or not?
Yes.
We say, to know you are, to know what this object is, mic is, for mic to become evident, the operation of the instruments or instruments is important, necessary. Whereas to know whether you are or not, are you here?
Yes.
To know, what evidence do you need? without the operation of senses, without the operation of the mind, you are evident. Understand now? This is what now? Independently evident. Okay? Is self-evidence. That's why self is self-evident. The whole jagat is what now? Evident. Isn't it? The whole jagat is evident. How do you analyze that? That what is dependent on operation of mind and senses? What? So self being, self is ever evident. Self is ever evident. And ever evident self, the ever evident means it is not dependent on the operation of mind and senses. Senses need not function, mind need not function for you to know you are. Not dependent. Therefore, self-evident. So, Atma, when you say this Chaitanyam is self-evident, the world is evident to the self. Isn't it? So, these two things we have to analyze next class. What is self-evident? What is dependently evident? We'll see next class. So, namaste to all of you. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.